The opinions contained within do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or sponsors of News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
Inside the Law is presented to educate listeners in Monmouth and Ocean counties about legal issues. The opinions expressed by the host, guests, and phone callers are strictly their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Town Square Media and are not intended to be a substitute for personal legal advice from your own attorney.
Your questions and comments are welcome at 732-505-1160. Inside the Law, talk radio for the Jersey Shore.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and members of the Ocean and Monmouth County listening community and the rest of the world that may be listening to us this morning on the Internet. My name is Bob Novy. I'm managing partner of the law firm of Novy & Associates and the proud sponsors of today's show. Novy & Associates is a boutique law firm that specializes in an ever-growing area of law known as elder law, which includes giving clients advice and helping with protecting their assets, Medicaid planning. We represent clients in court on guardianships and other protective arrangements. We also assist clients with planning their estates, administering their estates, litigating estates. And every week we take you, the listener, on this show, Inside the Law, to learn about a topic of interest as we broadcast today on 1160 WOBM AM in Ocean County and 1310 AM in Monmouth County and all over the world on WOBMAM.com. Every week, we literally take you inside the law to learn about a topic of interest, and we also give you an opportunity to call up if you have any questions about today's show. As was announced earlier, our phone number here at the studio is 732-505-1160. Our phone lines are open. Our sound engineer, Lauren, is here waiting to say hello and put you on the phone with us. If we can help you with today's subject or any other subject of a legal nature, we welcome your calls. And also, I always like to remind our listeners to please have a pad and paper handy, because we give out a lot of important dates, information, events, and phone numbers. Please welcome a friend and colleague who I've known for years, even though she's still a very young lady. Please welcome Valerie Morton, who is a licensed funeral director with Anderson & Campbell Funeral Homes. And today we're going to be talking about veterans' benefits, how they impact pre-planning, the role of pre-planning in applying for Medicaid, and eliminating tough decisions for your loved ones. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you this morning.
I appreciate you coming down on a beautiful Saturday morning, Labor Day weekend. How long have you been a funeral director?
I have been a licensed funeral director for 15 years, doing all aspects of funeral service. Right now, my focus is on the advanced planning end of things.
Now, folks, if you're a regular listener here on Inside the Law, you know we talk about a lot of interesting subjects, estate planning, protecting assets, the importance of having a will. We've talked many times on taxation while you're alive, when you're no longer on this earth, taxation for family members, guardianships, and other difficult subjects. And frankly, making a will, preparing a will, having your estate prepared can be a challenge for some, but once it's done, it's a relief for the client, and frankly, it's a real benefit and a service that you're performing for your own peace of mind, but that of your loved ones.
Absolutely.
And next in line, of course, is the importance of having a pre-planned, pre-arranged funeral. How can we incent our listeners here on Inside the Law and share with them some real-life experiences and benefits and reasons why they should not only have their estate plan in place, but even the funeral that ultimately is going to take place someday planned and prearranged as well?
Well, definitely it's a difficult conversation to have. How many times somebody says something about a funeral, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to hear about it. And it's completely understandable. I mean, it is an awkward conversation to have. But I think ultimately speaking, if you don't have the conversation, that's what makes it truly uncomfortable when the time does come. families are put in very difficult positions to make a lot of decisions under a very short span of time. So if there's nothing in place, they're scrambling through papers. I mean, I've seen the deer in headlights, unfortunately, way too many times. People don't know where to find the information on a loved one. We need a lot of biographical information. We need a lot of background information in addition to the actual service information that families are looking to have. So by putting this into place ahead of time, you're really giving your family members a gift. It's truly a gift to them. It's one phone call and the ball gets rolling. Things take place and they're not stressed or making decisions under stressful situations.
You know, people have heard me say many times before about the importance of having pre-planning in place. And they've heard me say many times the importance of living with dignity. And now one of the buzzwords and frequently used subjects of talking points is aging in place. Aging in place, enjoying a quality of life, living in the most restrictive, in the least restrictive, environment where you choose to live in the most financially efficient manner. Obviously, living in your own home. If you need help at home, having caregivers in place to help you and all of that. And part of living with dignity and aging in place, frankly, is someday dying with dignity as well. And before we came on a radio this morning, Valerie and I were talking about some interesting observations. You know, if you drive a car on the highways here in the state of New Jersey or elsewhere, you have to have auto insurance.
Right.
It's required by law to protect you, to protect your loved ones, to protect other passengers and people on the road. You may come in contact with in the form of an auto accident, and you don't want to see your assets, your estate, your home depleted if you were in an accident and it was your fault, or if someone caused your injuries but they were not insured adequately or not sufficiently insured, and you suffered a loss. Not just the cost of replacing your automobile, but the cost of losing a limb and not being able to work and so forth. If you own a home, you should have homeowner's insurance. If that home is mortgaged or financed, by law, you're going to be required by the lender to have homeowner's insurance. And even if you have no mortgage, you should have homeowner's insurance anyway. And of course, in the wake of Sandy, people learn the hard way of what happens if they have a flood or property loss and they don't have flood insurance. Well, that leads to long-term care insurance. And the odds of suffering a loss in an auto accident are fairly small, even though people have insurance for it. The odds of having property and casualty loss in your home until Sandy occurred are still fairly minimal in most cases over a period of time. But as they say, if you're over the age of 65, odds are one out of three of us may spend some time in some kind of a long-term care setting, whether it's permanent or short-term, and the cost is astronomical. And you can look at the statistics all day long, ladies and gentlemen, but in all due respect, and I say this with some semblance of dignity, in all due respect, we're all going to die someday. So it's not an if, it's a matter of when. But when that time comes, are we prepared for what's next for our families? Do we have a plan in place that tells our survivors what we want done with respect to our passing? And to me, having that all prearranged and written down it's literally living and ultimately dying with dignity.
Absolutely. I think it's a big responsibility on the individual's part to make sure that their wishes are known. Again, I know it's a difficult conversation, but it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom, so to speak. You come into the funeral home, you sit down, we could even go to your home and discuss things. I think once you get over that initial hump, the sense of relief that you've actually taken care of this is unbelievable. Not to mention the fact that you actually get to personalize your own service. It gets to be about the life that you lived and the way you want to be remembered, as opposed to guesswork on your family's part. You know, we are all about personalization at this point, making the funeral service a retrospect of your life and all the happy times that took place, your hobbies, your interests, anything can be expressed in the way that you want. And I think that makes a huge difference to your family when all is said and done and the services are over and everybody goes home. They could actually sit back and say, you know, that's exactly how mom or dad would have wanted things to be. We were laughing. We were having a good time remembering them. And there's no regret on their part. Did I make the right decisions? Is that really what they would have wanted? I was under the gun. I snapped to a decision. I don't feel comfortable. And unfortunately, at that point, it's too late. They've got to live with that for the rest of their lives now.
I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Inside the Law here on 1160 WLBM AM in Ocean County, 1310 AM in Monmouth County, and on the Internet at WOBMAM.com. And our phone number here at the studio is 732-505-1160. I'm Bob Novy, your host of Inside the Law, and with me today is Valerie Morton from Anderson & Campbell, and we're talking about the significance and the relevance and the benefit that you can leave your loved ones by having your funeral prearranged. There are so many issues and questions that can come up in terms of a funeral, from filling out a death certificate to what type of funeral would the person want to have?
Mm-hmm.
How do they want to be remembered?
Exactly.
How much do they want to spend?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they want their remains to be disposed of? In the ground, above ground, at sea? How do they want to be remembered? And I have a confession to make, and I think I've said this before. My parents, unfortunately, at the latter stages of life, were ill. They were disabled. They wound up moving by medical necessity into an adult community. And it started out, my dad was in independent living. Then he moved over to assisted living. And the last 6 months or so of his life, he was a roommate of my mom in a nursing home. Knowing that all that was ahead of us, I saw the wisdom and the benefit of prearranging and prepaying their funerals. So that was all done. It took a big burden off of me, my brother, and the rest of the family. The one thing I forgot to do, quite frankly, and I felt very bad about it after the fact, was I had forgotten to discuss with my dad what to say about him in his obituary. And to talk about personalizing it, my dad was a veteran. He had served in World War II. And he was a commander of his veterans organization. And when he was commander, I was his ghostwriter. I used to write his messages to the other members of his post, his veterans post. And that was important to him, and I enjoyed writing his stories and his shared experiences with the other members of his veterans group. And frankly, the one thing I left out in his obituary was the fact that he had served in World War II. He was a veteran. And he was president or commander of his veterans organization. His colleagues, his comrades in arms did appear at the funeral. They paid their respects. They presented us with a flag. But nobody said anything negative, but I felt bad that I didn't put that in the obituary. Why? I forgot to write it down, and I literally wrote the obituary and sent it into the Asbury Park Press the day he died, and it was in the paper the next day, and it was frankly too late. And that bothered me to this day. So it's just an illustration, Valerie, and ladies and gentlemen, of you can be as specific as is appropriate, but it's your choice. It's your rite of passage.
Exactly. It's as much information or as little information as you choose, but you brought up a very important point. Here you had this in place, and you thought you had everything all settled down, but at the last minute, there's the little detail that now it still bothers you.
Yeah.
So that signifies the importance of really detailing everything ahead of time. And again, you can do as much or as little as you'd like. Some people want things very, very simple, and that's fine as long as their wishes are put in place. Their families don't have to think, well, did mom really want a viewing? I'm not sure. Do we want folks to come to the funeral home? We know she has cemetery property, but she never really specified if she still wanted to be buried. Maybe it's, you know, the cemetery is a distance. They don't want family traveling. So there's a lot of different nuances and things that can be discussed and a lot of different options that are available that I don't think people realize are even available to them. So it is very important to get it out on the table.
Exactly. And the arrangements that a person can make, do you find that in most cases, in most funerals that you've been involved with over the 15 years of your professional career, are most funerals that are prearranged today done by the client, him or herself, I guess more so today than in the past, but in the past more were done after the fact, after the person died, yes, by the family?
Yes, we're seeing more folks that are actually taking the responsibility to do it on their own. Family dynamics have changed over the years. Clearly, we've got, you know, clients with their children that are scattered to the wind. You know, somebody might live in California, somebody might live in Europe. And, you know, frankly, when the time comes, they don't want to have to worry about their kids making these decisions. They want them to be able to just make arrangements to get on an airplane and come back to New Jersey, come back to their home, and have everything really fall into place for them. So we are seeing folks now doing this to alleviate that stress and that burden on their children. Because of all those folks that say, oh, my kids will take care of it, my kids will take care of it. You know, we don't know where our kids are going to be in 10 or 15 years.
The kids themselves don't know.
Exactly. We don't know where we're going to be. We don't know what kind of financial situation we're going to be in.
With corporate America today, you know, while clients of mine and yours perhaps worked for the same company, whether it was a bank, an insurance company, the government, for 20 or 30 or 40 years, how many kids today, A, are employed, and B, will still be in that job between now and the time they retire?
Exactly. Exactly. There's no guarantee of where anybody's going to be, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, let alone next week. I mean, you know, everything is so fluctuating that there's just no guarantee. So if you can get as much taken care of in advance, you're really alleviating that kind of burden and that kind of stress on your kids.
I'm going to be asking this again later, but if someone listening to today's broadcast and Inside the Law would like to learn more about what's involved in prearranging and pre-planning a funeral, and they want to make an appointment, A, how do they reach you? B, where are you located? And C, what, if any, information might they bring with them, or you will discuss that on the phone?
Okay. Yeah, it's very simple. Most of the time I do work out of Anderson and Campbell Funeral Home in Manchester. It is on Ridgeway Road in Manchester. We are affiliated with the Dignity Memorial Funeral Service Providers, so we do have 2,500 locations across the country. Mostly, though, however, again, I am out of Anderson and Campbell. My phone number there is 732-657-5700, and if for whatever reason I'm not there, they always know where to find me. And it's really a very simple process. As far as bringing information, we do ask a lot of biographical or statistical information, your full name, date of birth, place of birth. If you're a veteran, we ask you to bring veterans paperwork. If there is a cemetery involved, we do ask you to bring a copy of the deed so that we can complete a file for you at the funeral home and have all that information on hand and make sure that you get all the benefits and things that you're entitled to.
You know, I had some lovely clients yesterday coming to see me. From Westlake and Jackson, we completed their estate plan because they're going to be leaving for a trip, I believe, to Spain. And we talked probably half the time about food and where to go and what to eat. And they certainly don't need my help because they've been in the food industry their whole lives. But for them, it was a completion to have their legal documents in order. And they were done and signed yesterday, and they feel comfortable getting on a plane and traveling abroad. But one of the questions that did come up was funeral arrangements, and they have discussed with their children what they want, and it is memorialized. But for those people, and I want to say Marty and Deb, have a wonderful trip, and I look forward to hearing from you when you come back. But for those people that don't have pre-arrangements and pre-planning done, who typically, is there a legal significance as to who generally has the legal authority to serve as the funeral representative?
Yeah. It is technically the legal next of kin. So if there is a spouse, it would be the spouse that's involved. If there are children, then it becomes the children's responsibility. We do have some issues when it comes to cremation. The state of New Jersey requires that we have majority of the children sign off on a cremation authorization, and that has to be done at the time.
And that could be a problem.
That is definitely a problem. Definitely a problem with folks that, again, don't live locally. So we have to try to do as much as we can, either over the phone, through the internet, and it just becomes complicated with the timing issue.
Exactly. So if someone has prearranged their funeral, A, you have all the information, you have all the phone numbers and the contact information of who to notify, and if you need paperwork signed subsequently prior to the actual funeral itself, you, at least you have a leg up, so to speak, on who to contact.
It eliminates the scrambling, looking for the phone numbers and trying to figure out where everybody is located.
Exactly. Just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Inside the Law here on 1160 WOBM AM in Ocean County and 1310 AM in Monmouth County and all over the world on WOBMAM.com. Our phone number here at the studio is 732-505-1160. And Lauren, I understand we have a caller on line one. Regina, good morning. Thank you for calling Inside the Law.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad to have called. I just recently tuned in, so I'm not quite certain if you may have already discussed this question, but my husband and I are making our pre-planned funeral arrangements. And someone has said that we could personalize our funeral arrangements, and I'm not quite certain what this means and if it has this. If we do decide to do it, whether it's included in our will or do we do it with the funeral director, can you explain to me exactly what personalization is and how we go about accomplishing this?
Absolutely, Regina. First of all, while there's no harm in listing in your will the specific funeral arrangements that you like, which we always encourage if a person has pre-arranged in advance or knows they're going to, we will gladly incorporate in the will the funeral home they want to use, what they want done with respect to their remains, as Valerie just mentioned, if they have a grave site and they want to be buried or they want to be placed in a mausoleum or they want to be cremated, what they would like done with their cremains, if they want a religious service, if they want a church or religious house of worship to be included, that can all be spelled out in the will. But from my point of view, legally, the will should, if nothing else, as a minimum, designate, as Valerie and I were just talking, designate someone who's the funeral representative, which gives that person who's going to be involved in settling the estate, typically a family member, the right of first refusal, so to speak, to speak to the funeral home and to instruct them and to sign the paperwork that's needed. But as to your specific question, Regina, Val, how could Regina and her husband literally personalize their funerals to leave a lasting legacy and pass on their core values and their history to their loved ones and people that are going to survive them?
Okay, there's so many different levels of personalization, starting with something as simple as bringing photographs from home and setting them up around the funeral home for the viewing, bringing any type of memorabilia. Say you like to knit, we can have your knitting basket, you know, adjacent to your casket. Any of the items you may have knitted, we can have on display, things of that nature. So it really is a reflection of what your special interests or hobbies might have been.
What if you're a sports fan, like you're a baseball fan, you like the New York Yankees or the Mets or the Phillies?
We've done jerseys, we've done floral tributes that are in the emblem of the specific team. We've done tickets, shadow boxes. There are so many different, again, levels of the personalization. And as in reference to your question, as far as charges are concerned, it's really going to depend on what you're doing. Anything that you bring in and set up, clearly there is no charge for that. If we need to influence an outside service, there might be something in addition in that reference. But as far as organizing and discussing with you exactly what your interests are so that it's best reflected during the actual services, there is absolutely no fee for that. That's all included in our service.
So I would think, Valerie, if Regina and her husband, for example, had accomplished certain things in their careers, their place of employment, their hobbies, any specific designations, any awards,
right.
Any groups that they have been active in, clubs, organizations.
Absolutely.
When you call, if you're not yet a client of ours and you would like to kick our tires, we do offer a complimentary meeting, as does Valerie at Anderson & Campbell. But my point is, when you come into my office and you see my conference room, you'll see several walls covered with plaques and awards and distinguishments that are important to me. And that's all important to my life and my core values. So I'm sure if the things that you and your husband done in your lives, you'd want to pass on your specific history and biography to your family members. And Valerie is explaining that you can do just that.
Absolutely. And when you come into the funeral home, or we do come to sit down with you, essentially it's a conversation. It's a discussion. You know, it's not a rote, a question and answer thing. We get to know each other. So in that respect, once I sat with you for a little while, I might be able to draw some things out that, you know, you might not have thought about, you know, incorporating in your services that are going to be important to you and are going to be a very good reflection of the way you've lived your life.
You know, I also, if I can keep you on a line another minute, Regina, Valerie was sharing with me today that more and more people, and I notice it when I read the obituaries, that more and more people are saying in there an obituary, if they do publish one, that in lieu of flowers, they want to leave a donation for those that want to make one, in lieu of flowers to make a donation to a charity or a cause that's important to them.
Right.
And along those same lines, people will sometimes, who can't physically appear at the funeral, can weigh in online. Can
yes.
you explain that?
Yes. We have online obituaries now, not only through the newspaper itself, but through our funeral home websites. And it does offer folks that may not be local an opportunity to leave reflections of the remembrances with that person online. And we do have the capability of printing those online condolences out for folks that may not have access to a computer that would still like to read them.
And then just go ahead, Valerie. Regina. Excuse me.
I just want to say that is some very unique options. I'm definitely going to look into Anderson & Campbell. And Mr. Novy, I also would like to ask, you mentioned in earlier that they can name a personal representative for our funeral arrangements. Can that be someone other than the executor, or must the person be one and the same?
No, it can definitely be someone other than the executor. Someone who is available and willing to be your advocate when you're no longer here, and somebody who's thorough and can handle the responsibilities involved in the funeral, whether or not you would want a viewing, would you want a religious service, do you want something at the funeral home, do you want a repast, and all of the arrangements that are important to you, which you would discuss in advance with Valerie, would be handled subsequent to your passing. But that brings up another question of prearranging, and that is it necessary or mandatory, if someone like Regina wants to come and see you, is it necessary for them to prepay the funeral? But why might they consider doing it if they choose to? Why do people prepay?
It is not necessary. It is not a requirement. We do encourage folks to prepay, and there are a lot of different options, which I'm not going to get into today because there's so many nuances
right.
and questions that I would need to ask. But the bottom line is, if it's pre-funded, because we are part of the Dignity Network, we are able to fully cost guarantee all the funeral home charges. So if you pre-fund your funeral, and God willing, you don't pass another 10 to 15 years, all the funeral services that are prearranged and pre-funded are taken care of. There is not going to be any additional funding, and it is fully transportable. So, again, if you make your arrangements here at Anderson & Campbell and move out to, say, California, if you use a Dignity Memorial provider in California, they are going to fully honor not only the services but the price as well. So I think that's a really big benefit.
That is significant, because the cost of a funeral today, while it may be substantially more than it was 20 years ago, obviously will be significantly more 20 years hence. So by pre-arranging and prepaying, if you have that price guarantee and knowing that the arrangements can be portable or moved from one Dignity funeral home to another, wherever you might live and die at the time, that gives a tremendous flexibility and peace of mind.
Exactly, because I think that's a big turnoff for folks, is that they're afraid that, well, what if I prepay and the funeral home goes out of business? Or what if I move? What if my children are somewhere else and they want me to, you know, do something somewhere else? This offers that flexibility. You don't need to use the particular provider that you've initiated the prearrangement with, and you're still going to be cost guaranteed.
And lastly, I would encourage you, Regina, to look into this with Valerie Morton, because you're really doing your next of kin, whoever they may be beside your husband, a tremendous service, and you're taking a tremendous burden off of the family later, not only emotionally, but frankly, financially as well. It's, as Ben Franklin once said, two things in life are certain, death and taxes. Someone more recently said, but there's a difference. At least death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets. Taxes usually do. And lastly, Woody Allen once said, death isn't that bad. He just doesn't want to be around when it happens.
I have just one quick question. Yes. I don't know if they had mentioned this. I do live in Manchester, so I do happen to pass the Anderson and Campbell. I believe it is on 571. Is that correct?
Yes.
Which, by the way, is right down the road from our offices. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that is that where Val?
That's
Valerie,
where I
that
am.
Where
yeah,
you
we've
are?
Got the
okay.
flags lining the street view there.
Okay.
And Valerie, okay. Regina, if you would like to make an appointment with Valerie, just write this number down.
It's 732-657-5700, and I'm very flexible. Whatever, you know, scheduling you're on, I'd be more than happy to accommodate you.
And Valerie can, if you'd like, can make an appointment at your convenience with you and your husband, and she'll make it very simple, non-confrontational, very painless. And she can provide you with some literature and help you assemble your thoughts in a very friendly, environment.
I appreciate this. Thank you very, very much. Really, this is just where we want to, you know, looking for what we want to accomplish.
Well, you're welcome. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I was going to say, you're welcome. Enjoy your weekend, and thank you for spending a part of it with us here on Inside the Law. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thank you, Regina.
Thank you, Regina.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Folks, I always say to you, as you listen to our show here on Inside the Law, please have a pen and pad handy, because I'd like to remind you of some important information. First of all, as I just shared with Regina, Novi & Associates has two offices conveniently located in Ocean and Monmouth County. Our main office is on Ridgeway Road, right up the road from Anderson and Campbell, 2915 Ridgeway Road in Manchester. Our phone number is 732-657-0600. We also have a second office in Monmouth County on Highway 35 in the Brook Plaza in Seagart, and we oftentimes meet clients in the Northern Ocean and Southern Monmouth area at that office as well, and you can either call that number at 732-359-0221 to make an appointment, or you can call our main number at 732-657-0600. And like Valerie, we make house calls as well. If after today you have any questions, perhaps you're shy, you didn't get a chance to, or you didn't want to call in the studio to ask your question on the air, of course, you can call us during the week. You can also email me at rnovy, N-O-V-Y, at novilaw.com. And we are also very active, as is Valerie and Anderson and Campbell. We're very active in the community. We have formed a speakers bureau. And if you're a member of a civic group or organization and you'd like to have a talk on prearranging your funeral, Medicaid, asset protection, the importance of having a will, changes that have occurred from a tax point of view, talking about Medicaid, the different legal documents that people consider to preserve and protect their assets, we're only too happy to take our show on the road and bring it to you. And along those lines, we have a seminar scheduled at the Manchester Library on October 6th, talking about pre-planning and estate planning in general. I'll also be speaking to the Lakewood Four Seasons Men's Club in October. And as a member of the Jersey Shore chapter of 1013, which are retired police and firemen, I'll be speaking at the Manasquan Elks later in October. So to learn more about our seminars and the dates and the subject matter, please visit our website at www.novilaw.com. And if you look on events, you'll see the different places that I and my colleagues, Jason Wyatt and Doug Hull, who are regular guests, or I should say regular speakers here on Inside the Law, as well as at some of these community events, you'll see where we are, when we are, and how to get a hold of us if you'd like us to come out into your community as well. Valerie, you know, we're talking, I mentioned a moment ago about Medicaid. Let's talk briefly about the significance of pre-arranging and pre-paying your funeral as to Medicaid.
Okay. I think it's extremely important. Anybody that's been through the Medicaid spend-down process or is initiating the Medicaid spend-down process knows it is extremely overwhelming.
And by the way, if you want to talk about daunting and paperwork, pre-arranging your will, pre-arranging and preparing your funeral pales by comparison. It can't scratch the surface.
Oh, absolutely.
Of what you have to do when you have to literally spend down your assets and come up with 5 years' worth of paperwork.
Right, exactly. And I think any social services worker that is guiding you through the process that doesn't recommend pre-planning and pre-paying for your funeral during that Medicaid spend-down process is actually doing a disservice. Unfortunately, we have folks that come to us after everything has all taken place, and the person is on Medicaid, and they think that the funeral service can be pretty much as they wish it to be. Unfortunately, Medicaid only provides for a small denomination, money-wise, towards funeral expenses. The family is allowed to contribute only up to a certain amount. Otherwise, they lose out on Medicaid. And unfortunately, the monetary allowances that they do give you is not very significant, and it really puts restrictions on what you can have for services.
So the benefit of pre-arranging and pre-planning your funeral in the Medicaid arena, ladies and gentlemen, is, frankly, it's one of the few safe havens where you can legally and legitimately spend money in advance to pre-arrange and pre-pay your funeral, whether you want a $4,000 or $5,000 disposition or more. It's legally permitted. While you can't literally give away your assets today and apply for Medicaid tomorrow or within the next 5 years, Medicaid, if a social intake person at the Board of Social Services that handles your Medicaid application is doing his or her job, they'll even share with you, you should prepay and prearrange while you're spending down before you get down to the last few thousand dollars, which if you're single, that's about all they let you keep, generally $2,000,
right,
which frankly is not enough to cover a dignified funeral. But as you're spending down and paying for your care and the services of a loved one in a assisted living or nursing home, Medicaid should and will, if they're doing their job, encourage you to prearrange and prepay as well, because it's one of the few areas of safe haven where dollars can be allocated and set aside to have a dignified funeral of your choosing.
Right, absolutely. We set up the funds in an insurance policy. This is the way we can cost guarantee our services.
Right.
We set that up irrevocably, which means that it is not considered a liquid asset. So in the Medicaid spend down process and once you're on Medicaid, those funds are strictly dedicated towards the funeral expenses. You cannot cash them out. That's how it becomes the safe haven in Medicaid's eyes. It's irrevocable. It's used specifically for one thing and one thing only.
Another myth and misconception, ladies and gentlemen, is how many of you out there believe that if you die owning life insurance, the life insurance is not part of your estate and is not subject to taxation, which is not always the case tax-wise, or that when you die and you have a life insurance death benefit that names, let's say, your daughter, Mary, as beneficiary. How many of you assume And, you know, in Novena Associates, the word assume is a very dangerous word to have and carry around with you in your mind. How many of you assume that if Mary, your daughter, is named as beneficiary on that life insurance policy, legally, she will collect that money and she has to pay for your funeral?
Yeah, not the case. Mary can get that death benefit and decide to take a vacation to Disney World. It's not a requirement to use the funds for the funeral expenses. Also, you might have the insurance policy in place now, but in 10 years, if there's a catastrophic event and you need to cash out that policy to pay for any kind of health care expenses, or if you do go into a nursing home, Medicaid may have you cash out that policy because it is considered a liquid asset.
That's
and it
right.
will no longer be available.
If you own that life insurance policy, ladies and gentlemen, it's in your name, and it's a whole life or universal life policy. Unless it's a group life insurance policy through work, or if it's a term policy that is only for a limited period of time, even veterans' life insurance is considered an asset, and Medicaid will require that policy to be spent down or cashed in because these are available liquid assets. There's a cash value to the policy. Medicaid will make you use that up or give it away, or I should say spend it down as well. But you can, of course, use the life insurance value to prepay your funeral, and then Medicaid will allow that expenditure.
Yes, absolutely. We set it up, again, irrevocably, so it's not considered a liquid asset anymore.
Now, we mentioned earlier about when you're prearranging your funeral and you're gathering the information to share with your funeral director, you mentioned about being a veteran. What's the significance about being a veteran and arranging for a funeral?
Okay, well, veterans do actually are eligible for certain benefits. They are not eligible for full burial expenses, and I know that's a common misconception. Oh, the VA will take care of it. The veterans will take care of it. With a copy of your DD-214, you are actually entitled to a flag and military honors at your place of burial or at a funeral home, depending on what type of services you selected. The only time the veterans will kick in is if you die on active duty or if you die in a veterans hospital. And with the way the government is fluctuating with things that are going on with the Veterans Administration, again, there is no guarantee that those types of things are still going to be in place down the road. You are entitled to burial in the veteran cemetery, whether that be full burial or cremation. So if you are a veteran or thinking about using the veteran cemetery, we could certainly help you and pre-register you to get you involved
and
with that.
And does that right of burial, if the person has been honorably discharged, apply not only to the veteran, but the veteran's spouse as well?
The veteran's spouse as well, and it does include a marker for both the service person and the spouse.
So, again, that's all important information. And, frankly, folks, how many of our family members know that we were veterans, know where to obtain the paperwork to show that we were honorably discharged, what rank we achieved while we were in the service, and what other, if this applies to you folks, what distinguished career awards recognition did you receive? And should that be memorialized and acknowledged in your passing?
Right. If it's a significant part of your life and it's something you're proud of and you'd like to reflect, absolutely. It can be incorporated in any number of ways.
For example, many times I look in the obituaries, which I didn't get a chance to do today because I had to meet Valerie to come for the radio, but I will when I get home. Oftentimes, and I'm sure you get asked this all the time, when people choose to have an obituary, right, the person may have passed away, God bless them, at the age of 102, but there's a picture of them in the obituary when they were in the service.
Right.
In their uniform. Or when they got married in their wedding dress,
right,
or when they graduated college, and the obit may have their name, it may have their age, but that's not mandatory.
Right.
But when it does, clearly the picture doesn't match up with the person that you're looking at and the age that they live to. So what's the reason for that?
Well, there's a couple of different reasonings to that. Number one, the person really absolutely loved that picture, and there was no way that they were going to get around not putting that picture in the newspaper. But the more likely reason is that you're sitting in front of a pile of pictures and you're under the gun to pick one for the newspaper, you kind of just put your hand in the pile and it's the luck of the draw. And unfortunately, that is what happens an awful lot of times.
I find that interesting. Now, also, as I understand it, Anderson and Campbell offers a way to not only memorialize the funeral in some way and personalize it, as Regina called a moment ago, to memorialize and personalize the funeral, but also to have a perpetual memorabilia of what transpired at the funeral and the way that person wants to be remembered. I understand you have a DVD.
Right. It's
Can you explain that?
Absolutely. It's Making Everlasting Memories. It entitles you to a DVD, a slideshow. You get to choose the pictures that you want. We set it to music. And it is played during the actual visitation, and it does also go online. So the photographs are available online, as well as an opportunity for folks to leave their online condolences. A couple months after the services, what we do is we take all the photographs that were in that DVD, we put them in a hardcover, we also include any of the online condolences in the book, and it also gives you an opportunity to write any significant memories or further personalize the actual book itself. So that's a hardcover that you'd get to keep as well.
Well, I can't think of a better way to, frankly, be remembered than to write all this stuff down and to have instructions available for your loved ones, for your family, for your executor, who may also be the funeral representative, although, as Regina asked and accurately pointed out, it could be someone different. But what better way to leave your core values to share with the next generation than to have them recorded and to have available in that fashion? I often wonder when I go to funerals, how did the, if there is a religious service, how did the priest or the minister or the rabbi know so many details about the decedent? And obviously the answer is because the client and or client's family member, who may be the funeral representative, maybe not, took the time to gather this important information. Because in my case, as I said earlier, when you come into our office at Novini Associates, you'll see our wall. You'll see my plaques. You'll see my awards. You'll see family pictures. And that's important stuff to me. You may be a crocheter. I happen to enjoy good wine, good food, good friends, and I like to play golf. Sometimes better than others, but depending on how many balls I lost that day. But these are important things in my life that I want to be remembered as. And ladies and gentlemen, I ask every one of you, A, do you have a will? B, is the will up to date? When's the last time you looked at it? Let's see what it says in your will to see if it's still accurate and current as far as who you want to get what, not only in terms of stocks and bonds and real estate and money, but also your personal possessions. And you can prepare all of those instructions by, among other things, making sure that your will is up to date, but also by writing down a letter of instruction as far as funeral arrangements, as far as your personal property, and other important things that are mean something to you. And if you don't have a letter of instruction prepared, you can feel free to call our offices at 732-657-0600. It's part of our estate planning toolkit. The letter of instruction will help give you some ideas and suggestions of things to consider in your life, in your estate plan, that you can leave behind for the next generation, along with your funeral arrangements. What do you own and where is it located? What are the duties of the executor? What is the current status of our tax law? And so forth. And the last thing I just want to say on that subject before I let Valerie summarize is things in life are constantly changing. Taxes are constantly changing. People come into our lives as a result of births, adoptions, marriages, people leave us as a result of disability, death, divorce, and there are a whole host of other things that happen in our lives with family members and friends. So are your documents up to date? If you're not sure or you want to come in for a checkup, We welcome that opportunity to meet you and discuss these things with you. Call us at 732-657-0600. Valerie, anything else in the last 4 or 5 minutes we have left that you think our listeners should take into consideration in terms of prearranging and pre-planning their funerals?
I think it's just very important to take on the responsibility. Again, get over the hump, take the responsibility, give your family the gift, eliminate the guesswork on their part, eliminate the emotional overspending, eliminate the regrets that may occur from making decisions that they weren't really comfortable with. So you take that first step. We offer a free personal planning guide that I'd be more than happy to get to you. It's the first step in organizing all your personal information as well as funeral service information that you may have been thinking about. So if that's something you think you might want to start with, just to kind of get your ducks in a row, be more than happy to get that to you. You can call me at 732-657-5700, and we can set up a convenient time for you, and we can get the ball rolling, and I guarantee I'll make it as painless and as easy and conversational as possible.
And I've worked with Valerie before. It's truly been a pleasure, a privilege, and an honor to work with her and her colleagues at Anderson & Campbell, because they are very professional, they are very thorough, and they've made my job so much easier when I've acted as either advisor to a family, as attorney for an estate, sometimes as executor, or all of the above. When I know that my client has done their job and has everything in place, even in terms of if they want a viewing, what do they want to be dressed in if there is a viewing? I don't have to decide, do they want to be in a shirt and tie or a dress or casual clothes? Do they want their golf club in the coffin with them? As there was a funny show on Curb Your Enthusiasm a few years ago with Larry David about that. But it's your right. How do you want to be remembered? And how do you want to be portrayed? And what arrangements do you want that mean something to you and obviously should mean something to the ones that are going to survive you? Who should we notify? How do we reach them? Do we have an email address for them if they live out of state and they travel around a lot? Do they have a home phone number? Do they have a work number? Is there a cell phone number? The cell phone numbers generally follow them wherever they are. So these are important tidbits that we didn't think about years ago, even in terms of filling out a death certificate.
Absolutely.
Which I understand now is often done electronically.
It's done online. So all the information that we gather, we put into the system, and it generates the actual document. So it's we're moving forward.
Yes, we're coming we already are in the 21st century. And our kids, I got to tell you, including Valerie's 3-year-old and 5-year-old, are leaps and bounds ahead of us, at least ahead of me anyway.
They know how to use my phone better than I do. So,
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already done it, consider prearranging and preparing for what's next. And among other things, to live with dignity. And frankly, in all due respect, we all will someday die, but may we die with dignity as we age in place. Accept the responsibility. Yes, it could be a challenge, but as was shown in the movie The Bucket List, once it's done, it gives you peace of mind of knowing that the family doesn't have to scrounge and run around to collect monies from different sources or to take up a collection or somebody in the family to have to advance the funds or put it on their credit card. You can do it now. Take the financial burden off of them, but also so that when that time comes and that passing occurs, as I saw firsthand with my mom and my dad, 3 years apart from each other, it made my life and my family's life so much easier because the work was done for us. Valerie, I want to thank you for spending the weekend with us on Inside the Law.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a wonderful opportunity.
Likewise, I look forward to continuing to work with you and Mary and Riddy and Paula and the other folks with Anderson and Campbell.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in. Have a great weekend. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another edition of Inside the Law. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay.
WOBM Lakewood Township. WADB.